Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Crisis Level Green. We're glad you could join us. Last week, we left off with our agents heading off to the one missing person from the book restoration team. Let's see what happens when they find her.
Guess with the office it's done, Burgundy makes a push to go find Phyle. Check out her. Let's go. I think we should head to her house or ask around if she has any local haunts.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Okay. So are you going to question people about Phyle first, or are you going to go to her house?
I think maybe just running straight to her house would probably be the best option.
Okay.
Finn.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Is this where Dr. Song bows out since they're leaving the university, or?
Mayhew has kind of like put you on to just like assist with the case
gotcha.
As a whole.
Okay.
If Dr. Song would like to excuse himself, he can, but otherwise.
No. I was just because they're leaving the university and like I was just told to do the forensics. So I was just making sure that it was cool if I tagged along.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
No, Mayhew indicated that it's the forensics for the case.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which there may be some later on.
I understand.
You're stuck with us until this is over, Doc.
You're stuck with me. And then
cancel your classes. We got to go to a house.
You're stuck in here with me.
And it would be just as awkward as that sounded. Dr. Song is not a particularly charismatic person, even though he'd like to think of himself as being one.
He's writing with you, Burgundy.
Hello.
Awesome.
God, all right. Don't touch the fucking radio.
All right, so you drive over to the home of Susan Phyle. She lives in a one floor house in the suburbs. Her car is in the front driveway.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to be anyone home.
But her car's in the driveway?
Yes.
Hmm. Burgundy's a little paranoid. He's going to get his like little Kevlar vest out from the trunk and put it on under his windbreaker. Because in his mind, all signs point to this woman having a shotgun.
Mm.
Leah just rolls her eyes and walks up to the door.
I will just wait in the car.
Yeah, just hang out.
I will have Leah make a search or forensics check.
Not an alertness?
No.
All right. We're going to go with search again because it is higher of the two. 30 under 50. That is a success.
You would notice that the door is closed, although it is not latched. And in fact, you actually could see that the wood is splintered around where the latch goes in.
Well.
As if someone kicked it in.
She's going to hold up a hand signal to Burgundy to say where he is and back away from the door to get her own Kevlar.
Yeah.
And maybe the.
Make fun of me at your own peril.
Maybe the larger gun while she's at it.
The larger gun is what?
The M4.
Okay. Standard so you issue. You take out your M4 and go back up to the house.
All right, you or me?
Me, old man. You
ladies
open
first. Lead the way.
You open, I clear.
All right, and we do our tactical stuff, and I open the door.
Okay. Yep. So you go in. So Mitchell's goes in. You do a full, like room by room clear of the house. It is unoccupied. There is no one around. You can. Both of you don't need to even roll for it. There is a palpable smell of like rotting fruit or rotting food. There's a smell of like rotting eggs and like rotting pork. What I will make you roll is search or alertness to determine where it's coming from.
I will go for alertness on my end.
But you see no, as you do your room search, you would see no sign of Filey at all.
Burgundy succeeded with a 30 under 50.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, a 3 under 50.
It seems to be coming from the garbage, from the laundry chute.
Leah also succeeded that one with a 27 under 50. So I guess we probably both pinpointed at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the laundry chute that goes to the basement.
She's gonna...
Can I...
Well, before we do anything, she's gonna pop her head out the front door and signal for the doctor to come in.
Oh. Dr. Song will having sort of watched from the edge of his seat the whole time as they disappeared behind the door, will relax and come on out to meet them at the front door.
Does he still have his like lab coat on?
Yeah.
That's funny. I love that.
So it smells horrible in here, but we could definitely use your own eyes.
Oh, thank you for the warning. So Finn, do I have like a peppermint oil or anything like that?
That's up to you to determine.
All right, I guess I don't.
Peppermint oil?
Dr. Song tries not to look like he's preparing to vomit. He will put on a brave face and he will head on in.
So Finn, for like really nasty surgeries, oftentimes like doctors and nurses in the OR will put some kind of like menthol or like peppermint oil directly underneath their nose while they're working.
Huh.
To keep the stench out.
Funny. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Go
for it.
It is pretty common. Leah will just hand him a tub of menthol.
Okay, cool. That's like the extent of my actual medical knowledge.
No.
Dr. Song will take it and head inside where he's needed.
Although your successes, your successes in search would also find a few things that are interesting. The first is you notice in the bathroom that there's sawdust on the floor, but
weird.
There's no like damage to the walls or anything.
I would like to look in the chute.
You look down the chute. It's dark.
Can I shine my flashlight down?
You can. You shine your flashlight down. You can see at the very bottom of the chute is a pile of food, of apples, carrots, lettuce. There is some pork chops that are turning green. There is milk that is slowly going sour. You would also see these white trays, like grills almost.
Leah, let's go check the basement.
Sure thing.
And gun out, flashlight on. Is there a light switch? Can I turn the light switch on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the lights are perfectly functional here.
Mm-hmm. And we'll make our way into the basement.
Okay. You go down.
It looks, yeah.
You go to go down into the basement. And yeah, you can see this small mound of horrible food. And these metal trays around it. When I say trays, I don't mean like a tray from a cafeteria. It's more like a grill, like from an oven, but they're white.
Oh, okay.
But they're white.
Huh.
How big are they?
They're about maybe a foot and a half wide.
So about the size of a cookie rack.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Paul's going to glove up, and he's going to just sort of move the trays around, move the food around, see what... specifically wants to look at the trays and see like what's up with them.
Yeah, make a forensics or... Yeah, make a forensics check.
I'm going to holler up for Dr. San to get down here as well.
Okay.
That's a failure. 84 over 30.
Yeah, you're not sure. You're not sure where these like white, like trays would ever come from. You've never, you know, I don't know. They're kind of familiar, but like it's just, I don't know.
Mm. Let's
maybe
see
you're
if
just
I
not
have.
Used to seeing them just kind of out on the floor.
Let's see if I have any luck with that roll.
No. No, you're not. You're again. These like, I mean, they don't look like supernatural or anything. They're just metal, like white metal trays. But like, yeah, it's just you're not sure where the fuck they would come from. Dr. Song, you come downstairs. You see the two of them, sitting in front of a pile of food, and these like, yeah, bizarre white metal racks.
All right, Dr. Song sort of raises a hand to his forehead and covers like an eye and sort of looks over and says, "Okay, what do you need me to do?"
Don't suppose you have any idea what these things are. They seem really familiar, and I am drawing a blank.
If out of character, you have a guess as to what they are, then you absolutely can make that guess in character.
I have no idea what these things are.
Yeah, do you need me to, like... Dr. Song will go over and examine them, but I can't think of what they might be. What do you need me to roll, if anything?
Forensics? Even just an intelligence check would work.
All right. Five. I think an intelligence times 5 is, like, the better move.
Okay.
54 under 80.
Well, they're next to food, like refrigerated food. Those are the racks from a refrigerator.
Oh, they're the tray racks.
Right. We've got glass ones in ours. That's why.
Paul's standing there like, I'm a fucking idiot.
You're not used to seeing them outside of a fridge, is why.
Is there anything else? Can I take a search around the rest of the basement? Is there anything strange in here? Or anything I would notice?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, so this is the contents of a refrigerator. So what's in the fridge?
Okay.
Well, let me go find out.
We trump upstairs.
The two of you, or I guess three of you, go upstairs. Who opens the fridge?
Me.
All of you make sand checks.
We're getting Kyle Raynard. Yeah.
That is a success for Leah with 51 under 65.
Got a success for Burgundy with 17 under 59.
53 under 70 for Dr. Song. He's good.
Okay, so even with your successes, you all lose one from violence. You see a stuffed into the fridge is a middle-aged woman with a stick, like a piece of wood that is coming out of her sternum and poking out and almost touching the fridge door.
You guys do the forensics?
Jesus fucking Christ.
You guys do the forensics? I'm going to go call the boss.
Yeah. Christ alive. Like, Burgundy's pretty shaken by this. He is, this sucks.
Yeah. No, it's been many years since Dr. Song has actually been out in the field doing any sort of forensics works. He's not happy about this either.
Burgundy will hand Song, like, a pair of gloves. And without removing the body from the fridge, I want to do what I can with my forensics and just take a look over her.
Same.
I mean, the cause of death seems pretty obvious, but...
Mm-hmm. So you are doing... pardon me here.
Burgundy doesn't know anything about forensics, apparently, as an FBI agent, with a failure at 51 under 30.
Okay.
Is it cool with you if I roll forensics, dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
That's why you're there.
Well, he didn't say that we could roll. I wanted to ask him first before I rolled anything.
No, forgiveness better than permission.
failure.
So, 67 out of 20. Yeah, you're not entirely sure where to start with this. Although you kind of don't want to have to do this in the home that you're in right now. The only takeaway you really get is that it makes sense as to how she was preserved. I mean, she was being kept on ice.
Why the fridge? Why? Also, the premeditation. Also, with that food being rotten, she's been here a minute. Man, I don't know. So, someone breaks in, kills her, takes all the food out of the fridge, throws it down the chute, and puts her body in? And then, presumably, kills the rest of her colleagues and takes a book and leaves. Why? What is this fucking book?
What did you call it? The Revelations of Glack?
Glock.
Glack. Glack.
Does Filey have like a home office in here?
Yeah.
Can I check it out?
Sure thing. Yeah, it's kind of similar to her university office. A little more casual.
Mm-hmm. Any...
She has a Mac.
Are there any documents or anything relating to this book or her work or anything like that? I can see.
Make a search check. You've been making a lot of those today, but yeah, make a search check.
Yeah, I have.
Is it cool to say that I went with him?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
That's a success for Burgundy with 48 under 50.
Yeah, you can also just declare that you're going somewhere or trying something to get something.
Yeah, I just didn't want to talk over anyone, that's all.
Yeah. So, 48, you would actually find that in her dustbin is some mail.
We're rifling through that.
You're rifling through that, not me.
I'm rifling. Yeah. Dr. Song's in the doorway watching this guy go through.
Pretty much. Man.
Okay. If Dr. Song wants to make a roll, you can, but yeah, they are personal correspondences.
The 90s when people wrote letters. What do these letters say?
So essentially you get one, it's kind of written in like in black pen you get that it is signed it's signed by Ronald Black. It is a essentially it's talking about like, oh yes, like essentially it's stating like I've studied the Revelations, I've studied the other volumes of the Revelations. I think they're like one of the most original and most like interesting books that covers the Severn myth cycle. I would love to discuss this with you further. I'm going to be in Chicago from the last week of June to around the 10th of August. Yeah, we should meet and talk sometime. There seems to be like half. There seems to have been like a correspondence before this.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to hand over the letter to Song and be like, I mean, we have a new prime suspect, man.
Ronald.
You ever hear this guy, Ronald Black?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was asking if ever. I know you probably weren't close with Miss Filey, but you were this Ronald Black guy.
Ring oh, my bad. I thought you were asking Finn. Well, Finn, no. Does Dr. Song know Mr. Black here?
Nope.
Dr. Song shrugs and says, I've never heard of him. Yep. We'll hand you back the letter. Like, obviously not wanting to hold on to it or really go through it much more than he already has.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Leah, so you've been calling Mayhew, I believe.
Yeah. So she would have called Mayhew, let him know that they found the fourth person from the department. And we are going to need a coroner. And also they're definitely going to want masks because it smells absolutely horrid in here.
Okay. So yeah, the coroner's office. Yeah, this is no big thing. So the coroner's office comes, takes the body. They manage to get it out of the fridge. All of you would notice, so the stick that essentially there is a stick, it's kind of thick, and it's like, it looks like a walking stick of some kind. It seems to be made from like a lacquered like branch or like piece of wood or like a small tree. And there are small little symbols in it in kind of a weird, it kind of looks like Old Celtic or like Welsh. You would also notice that it's been sawed down on both ends in a very kind of crude way.
Leah will take a couple pictures of the markings on the stick before they take the body. She knows they can't take the stick itself right now.
Hmm.
What are the chances that our good friend Filey here has already met with Mr. Black? I say, wondering out loud to my colleagues.
Well, let's go find Mr. Black, have a discussion with him, and see what he has to say.
Okay. So how do you want to go about finding Mr. Black?
Did he by chance leave an address of what hotel he might be staying at?
He did. He gives in the address of, this is where I should have come up with a, I shouldn't come up with a hotel. I will say the Marriott.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
Shall we, gentlemen?
I think we should make our move. Yes.
Okay. So you go to the Marriott, present FBI badges. You are looking for like where Mr. Black signed in, etc. I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. His room number and description, maybe.
Okay. So you are given his room number. He was staying in. He was staying in room 3110, and we have the essentially the hotel manager is going to go with their security department and see if they can get any footage of him. He checked out last night or two nights ago.
Okay.
So
I guess we stand. I'm going to sit in my hands until we get that footage, I suppose.
Okay. Yep. So is anyone going up to the room?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt there's much to find, but we might as well.
Okay. So, what you see, so yeah, eventually the security people will, security officer will call you in Burgundy. She shows you, essentially the front desk when Ronald Black signed in. He is a Caucasian man, about 6 foot, kind of gaunt, long blonde hair, and dressed in black.
Does he have a walking stick with him?
He does not, but he has a gym bag with him.
Hmm.
He pays in cash, and yeah, he signs his name as Ronald Black. As for you, Mitchells, you go up to the room. Room cleaning has been through it. You don't really find very much there. although you can make a search check to see if they missed anything.
Sure thing. That is a critical success with a 22 under 50.
Okay. So you would find a couple of... you would find a note. There is a crumpled up note that's like stuffed under the mattress. It looks like... It's a small paper note that kind of has like a watermark on it, like from a hotel or something. The watermark says Whole Earth Industries, Whole Earth Enterprises.
Okay.
And the note is written. It says, I'll just take it down in notes here. So it says, 11 and 10 are taken care of, Johan. Go to Chicago and find the last one, and we're even. Signed, Robert.
Well, something tells me that Mr. Black wasn't Mr. Black.
Mm-hmm.
But she will head downstairs, gather the gentlemen, mm-hmm. and let's see if we can figure out where this Whole Earth Enterprises is located.
Mm-hmm. So as you guys are essentially leaving the Marriott, Mitchells, you get a phone call.
This is Mitchells.
Mitchells, this is Mayhew. When you are ready, the coroner would like to go over some of his findings with you, see if it rings any bells.
Sure thing. While we're doing that, Mayhew, could you do me a favor? Look up an address for a Whole Earth Enterprises.
Whole Earth. Yeah, that's in New York.
Oh, great. I guess we're taking a trip.
All right. Well, just pop by the coroner's office and I'll before you do anything like that, and we'll see what's what.
Will do. Talk to you soon, boss.
You're around. So yeah, you go over to the coroner's office. It's pretty late in the day. So the coroner is there. He's a portly guy, kind of bald. And you would see as you're going through the main office, you would see these two people in the lobby. One is a woman with kind of long black hair, and the other is like a long black hair, and the other is a African American guy, black sunglasses in a suit. They just seem to be waiting. Someone comes over and talks to them as they're kind of sitting down. You see that they both have FBI credentials on them. Right this way, gentlemen. And so they would all lead you down into the coroner's office. You can see that Mrs. Filey is has like a blanket pulled over her up to the head. And on a table next to her is the walking stick that's been removed. So I was able to remove the stick from Miss Filey. I wasn't able to determine too much about it. There's not in the much in the way of fingerprints or anything left on it that I could find, although I haven't done too much. I haven't put it under a blacklight or anything just yet. indication, from what I could tell, the stick had been used to impale Miss Filey from the lower back up through the sternum. It was done by hand. Prior to that, Mrs. Filey had, someone had been torturing her for days. Mostly blades, small blades, scalpels, etc. I haven't been really able to find any rhyme or reason to it other than to just cause pain. But it's kind of amateurishly done, except for the impalement. The impalement was, as far as impalements goes, it was done with considerable expertise. Whoever did this managed to avoid most of the major kind of bone structures that would impair the stick from going all the way through.
Speaking of the stick, do we have any idea what the carvings on it mean?
I don't know. Welsh. It's obviously an antique. It's very old. The wood treatment on it seems to be, I mean, it's kind of an older style of walking stick. I can tell you that the it was sawed off at the ends after the impalement.
Finn.
What?
Probably to make it fit in the fridge.
Finn.
Yeah?
Dr. Song will ask if he can see the tip of the walking stick that was used to impale. Because if the coroner said that this was done by hand, like, wouldn't the walking stick, in Dr. Song's mind, have to be particularly sharp to impale someone by hand?
Yes. What is it? And he would present it to you, and it is indeed, it's like the rubber stopper that would be on it, has been removed, and it was sharpened by hand with a knife.
Okay.
You would also notice the other end of it is kind of weird. It kind of ends in like a gnarled, like, it ends in like a really gnarled, like a knot, as if like from a tree or something. He says that was the handle, and that was the part where the stopper would have been.
It's just a tree branch.
Yeah, shillelaghs are like that.
Are we 100% sure it's a shillelagh and not a shinty stick?
I don't know. I assume it's a shillelagh. I mean, it's got like Gaelic written on it.
Side note, Welsh and Gaelic are two very different languages. There are also two variants of Gaelic.
Oh, yeah. Anyways. It's got Welsh written on it.
I want to try to divine more about the stick, but I think like an anthropology role or maybe a history role.
Sure.
See if I know anything about anything. I'll go with anthro, because I think that's fun. I've never seen a fucking stick before.
Yeah, you don't know anything about shillelaghs.
That is a crit failure, 100 over 40.
Yeah, you know jack from shit about shillelaghs.
Yo, Finn.
Yeah?
Has anyone checked the stick for, like, fingerprints or remnants? I'm sure we have, like, a lifting kit with, like, Dr. Song would suggest perhaps there might be fingerprints to take off of it.
The coroner hasn't gone over it very much. But if you want to have a look at it and try and take fingerprints, you could do that.
Okay.
You're our specialist, Dr. Song. Have at.
Yeah, I think they do like some kind of powder, right? To lift fingerprints.
Yeah.
Okay. He will try to identify where the grip is and get fingerprints.
Okay. You are doing forensics for this?
Sure.
Yep. So you can roll that. Plus 20. Oh, never mind. So, yeah, you are able to get fingerprints from it. You are able to tell that there are at least two sets of fingerprints.
Okay.
At least on the handle.
With my success, am I able to tell anything further about these fingerprints, or simply that there are two different sets?
That there's two different kinds.
Okay.
That's mostly we'd have it. To run them. I have an unusual idea.
Yeah.
Out of game, I know that a shillelagh is not just a walking stick. It was also used as a self-defense weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, would a melee weapons roll perhaps get me some information?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's see what I... Nope, that is a failure at 67 over 30.
Mm-hmm.
Was worth a try.
Okay, so you will set about running the fingerprints?
Yeah, we should be able to input them from the coroner's office. That shouldn't mm-hmm. be a problem.
So it takes a little while, but what you learn is that the fingerprints belong to two people. The first is a gentleman by the name of Trenton Fisher, who lives here in Chicago. The other one is for Johannes Knieper. That is the handler not knowing how to pronounce his last name. Johannes Knieper is a criminal. He has been wanted since the 1970s from Louisiana.
Is there a photograph with those fingerprints for Johannes?
Yes, there is his driver's license. Make a alertness or forensics check. Looking at that, I'm referencing the photo from the Marriott.
I am going to. It is a success with 29 under 50 for alertness.
Okay, so Johannes Knieper came to the attention of the FBI because he was a suspect in a 1977 mass murder / mass suicide in Louisiana. It is believed that he led a small group of people, a small cult that he was the leader of, in a essentially a mass impalement. Since 1977... I mean, it's been 18 years from now to 1994. He doesn't look terribly younger. Or, sorry, he doesn't look terribly old, much like, he doesn't look very much older than when he had, you know, his driver's license from the 1970s.
Right.
He's ooh, Dr. Song's a little jealous.
That was great for pushing whatever. Is there any info that we can pull up on Mr. Fisher?
Yeah, he is a antiques dealer in Chicago. He runs a shop called Fisher's Fine Antiques.
We have an address for that place?
Yep.
All right, gang.
Shall
we drop by Mr. Fisher?
We can. Also, is it... Since we are at a computer at the moment, can I just do a quick Google search on the cult that Johannes was part of and just see what they were maybe a cult of, what they followed, what their practices were, that type of thing?
So you learn that they were, okay, well, make a either history or cult check. Is that what you made just then? Or?
Yeah, that was something else. So you said history or occult. My occult is 10%, so we're going to go with history. Not that it is much better. That is a critical failure with 88 over 30. Computers do not like me.
Yeah, you're not able to get much on them. They were called the Cult of the Impaler. There was 45 members. They all killed themselves in Louisiana by impaling themselves with sticks. And Johannes was the leader. But where he is now, nobody knows.
Apparently they did not all kill themselves.
Suicide by impalement's gotta be the craziest thing I've heard in a while. That's nuts.
I mean, unless you were 16th century samurai.
Fair enough. But these people are from Louisiana. They're not, you know, trying to redeem their honor.
Where are you going to now?
I believe we have an antique store to check out.
So the three of us will head over there.
You're able to find the antique store, no problem. Mr. Fisher will tell you about, he'll show you the transaction record for, he bought, Mr. Black came into the store and bought, he bought 5 antique shillelaghs, paid in cash, quite a lot of it. He seemed to know about them ahead of time. These are antique Welsh shillelaghs that were imported from the UK a couple years ago. Mr. Fisher knows nothing special about them, but apparently Mr. Black had a particular interest in them.
Do you know if they had anything written on them?
Some Welsh stuff, but I think it was mostly just signatures and names, etc.
They were inscribed with people's names?
You know, would, like, a sign or carve their own names into it, ownership.
I don't suppose you have photographs of these items, do you?
Sure. He would show you these photographs. They are all, they are a set. Apparently they were all taken from the same tree. There's 5 of them, equal length, authentic from the early 20th century. In the 1910s, and
Do you mind if I take a copy of these photos?
Certainly.
Thank you very much.
How long have you had these? Dr. Song kind of reluctantly pipes up.
They've
recent-ish somewhat acquisitions.
25 years.
I said 1990.
I can't count, apparently.
4 years.
Don't mind me.
Man.
Do other people regularly handle these? Or do you keep them safe from the customers?
I mean, they were behind glass. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't too keen on letting them. People manhandle them too much before they bought them.
Dr. Song will look at the other two agents and ask if he can take fingerprints off that. Do they think that this would help?
Did you by chance notice anything unusual about Mr. Black?
No, he was courteous southerner. I don't know, he just seemed like I didn't notice too much strange about him. He had a lot of cash on him. I figured maybe he was, you know, some kind of eccentric or something.
Eccentric is right. As for taking the fingerprints off of what's remaining, I mean, the sticks aren't here anymore. He bought 5 of them, right?
He bought all 5, yeah.
No worries. Looks like... this is getting spookier and spookier. All this conspiracy just to get a fucking book. I don't understand.
Collectors will go through a lot for a one-of-a-kind piece. I'm sure that's all this is.
4 murders is quite a lot. Jesus.
Dr. Song will ask the agents if maybe we should ask him about the book.
That's a fair point, actually. What's the guy's name? Shit.
Fisher?
Yeah, Fisher. You ever heard... do you deal in books at all?
Books? No. Well, sometimes.
Have you ever heard of a series of books, The Revelations of a Glocky? 12 volumes, no. Particularly rare? Okay.
Don't think so, man.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you. Well...
Say. It's kind of getting late at night in Chicago. As you are leaving the antique store, you get a phone call. It's to Burgundy.
Oh. Who is it?
Right. You would hear the coroner on the other end of the line. He just says, "Yeah, Burgundy, that's you."
Yes, me. Go.
Look, I think you guys should come over like now.
Oh, what's up?
I just come here. I cannot fucking tell you this.
Yeah. We'll be right there. Don't have a fucking cow.
He hangs up.
Okay. Well, we got a very scared man. The coroner's having a fucking conniption. He wants us to come back there.